what he was going to be speaking on this weekend so that I could go ahead and mention everything that he was going to do here in this first message. Is that okay with you, Brother David? I just can't help myself, you know. All jokes aside, though, seriously, it's a great blessing to be here. I count these men as such dear, dear brothers and men that have hazarded their lives for the sake of Christ. And it's a great blessing. And I count this church as a high point, a high water mark, literally tonight. There's so much water out there. But as a high water mark and as a bright light that's just always shone brightly. And I've always had a desire to come to Little Union. Even back when I first got to know Brother Lonnie Mazingo Jr. in Nashville, and through him I got to know Brother Ronald, and then I got to know Little Union through Brother Ronald, and I just always had a desire to come and see and enjoy your fellowship. And one of the, about 10 years ago or so, when I was here once, I preached in the dark. The lights went out. So that's kind of ironic. You know, must be something. It's either the Lord blessing us to come together and putting His blessing upon us, or it's Satan trying to keep us to be from get together. So who knows? But I'm just glad to be here. And again, it's great to be with Brother David, my dear friend, who I count as like a second father to me. And so my wife told me that if I spoke first at any time, that I could only speak like an introduction for 5 minutes, because she wants to hear Brother David. So I'm just kidding. I mean, she really did say that, but she was just kidding. So I'll do my best to pack 20 minutes worth into 5 minutes. Here we go. So, but all jokes aside, again, let's look in the Word of God, if we could, to Mark, the 10th chapter. And I want to read to you verses 46 through 52 and speak to you about crying out, crying more, crying louder, and crying longer. Mark 10 and verse 46, we read one of my favorite individuals, and yeah, you could say characters, in the Word of God. And his name is Blind Bartimaeus, or as I like to call him, Blind Bart. That sounds like something out of a Western, doesn't it? Let's read in verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Notice the language now. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, now they say unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And the blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight, and notice the language, and followed Jesus in the way. Here we have an incredible account of the compassion and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the same time, we have an incredible account of persistence in prayer. To be persistent, to cry out, to cry more, to cry louder, to cry longer. And as I like to say, just cry. Here we have a man displaying his faith in the ability of Jesus Christ. Do you understand that what blind Bart did here in crying out again and again and louder and longer and more persistently, he's not being a nuisance. Now, that's the way that the people around him perceived him, as a nuisance. He is creating, listen now, he is creating a very uncomfortable situation for a public situation. You ever been in public and something just very uncomfortable happens? I was cursed, I guess would be the word, maybe blessed, I don't know. But last week I tried a case for 3 days, and sad to say, some of the events that took place in that case as we tried it, the defense attorney made it very uncomfortable. I mean, it was one of those moments of uncomfortable silence. We had many of those. And you just kind of get, I start getting hot and sweating a little bit for the other person when it's an uncomfortable situation. Do y'all do that? I mean, some people sneer and go, yeah, look at that dummy. I've probably done that in a time or two in my life. But for the most part, when an uncomfortable situation comes along, it makes me cringe. It makes me sweat. I almost feel worse for them than I would if it was me standing in that way, because I would know that I certainly deserve any bit of discomfort that I may receive. But this is a very uncomfortable situation that is caused by this man who is persistent in his prayer. And I want you to know that it is a display of blind Bart's faith in the Lord, in the ability of the Lord, that he continues to cry out. I'm afraid that there have been times in my life whenever I have desired something I hope would be a godly thing, and I would pray about it once or twice and it didn't happen, and then I just kind of drop it off the list. Aren't we like that? And yet blind Bart, he doesn't drop it off the list. He keeps crying out. He cries loud. He cries longer. And he just cries. He just keeps on crying. And he is displaying his belief in the ability of the Lord. You know, that's what your prayers do. So let's take the inverse of that. If we just pray one time, if we just kind of squeak it out and Lord help me and that's it, we're not displaying our belief in the ability of the Lord. And then, of course, the naysayer, who I have been the naysayer myself, would say, but the Lord's not answering my prayer. The Lord's not giving me what I'm asking for, and I believe I'm asking in line with the will of God. It's something that would please God if He did it. That's not the point. Whether He gives it or not is not the point. Right. The point is to display our faith in the ability of God. And that's what persistent prayer does. That's right. And I think if we'll take on what blind Bartimaeus is doing here, if we will apply that to our lives, in our prayer lives, I do believe that Jesus will stand still for us. Because that's what He does here. Now get the picture. He's coming to Jericho. Jericho was not a very nice town. It is a place that you would not really look that forward to going to. It was a place, especially getting there, the road was filled with highwaymen. The road was filled with robbers and thieves. You had to usually have an entourage to carry you along for safety. You remember the man who went down from Jerusalem town to Jericho, and he was, Jesus gives the account there in the book of Luke about the man who fell among thieves and he was robbed and left half dead. He was headed to Jericho. And so they're going down to Jericho here, and this place that blind Bart probably didn't have a whole lot of a threat to being robbed, because he didn't have anything. The less you have, the less likely you are going to be robbed. So blind Bart is sitting somewhere by the wayside, by the highway or by the traveling way, and he's begging. He's doing his thing. And notice it's interesting. It says he is blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. So this is blind Bart, the son of Tim, is who this is. And he sits by the highway side begging. And as he's sitting there begging, I picture the old movie, the old short cartoon movie, Robin Hood, from Disney, where Robin Hood would come in there with a little cup and he'd be jangling his cup dressed up like a beggar. I picture that. Some of y'all have seen that. You know what I'm talking about. And so the sheriff would come along and knock that, he'd hit the cup real hard and knock the quarter out of it, the coin out of it. But here's blind Bart. I picture him for some reason like that fox, that little Robin Hood, sitting by the wayside begging. Alms, alms, alms for the poor. But this was a known man, because everybody knew blind Bart. Everybody knew blind Bartimaeus. That's just blind Bartimaeus. He can't see. The only way he's going to be able to eat and survive is by begging on the highway side. And so when he hears that it's Jesus of Nazareth, he begins to cry out. He begins to cry loud. He begins to make the situation a little bit uncomfortable. And if you're a reader of the Scripture, which I trust you are, you'll find that very often Jesus found himself in very uncomfortable situations. I think it was a very uncomfortable situation, don't you? When he was sitting in the house of Simon the Pharisee in Luke the 7th chapter, and you read that a woman who was a sinner of the city came in and she washed his feet with her tears and dried his feet with her hair. That's very uncomfortable. I, for the most part, I don't really want anybody touching my feet. My feet are not that attractive. We were joking the other day about how it says how beautiful the feet are of those that bring the published gospel and publish the glad tidings of peace. I think, well, nobody's seen my feet because my feet are pretty ugly. I would think that's a very uncomfortable situation. You're sitting in the house of some higher up person in the community, some upper crust or upper class person in the community, and you're having a meal. And not to mention the fact that nobody offered Jesus any water for his feet, to wash his feet, and nobody gave him a greeting when he came in. But notice that Jesus is sitting there, and as he's sitting there, this woman has worked up the courage to come into the house of this man that she would never dare enter except for Jesus being in there. It took a lot of courage. It took a lot of faith for this woman to walk across that street and enter into that house. And no doubt the servants were looking at her. What is she doing here? And when she gets there, just the fact that she was there was uncomfortable. But when she gets in there, it gets even more uncomfortable. As Jesus, I can just picture him. You know, the way they sat around tables back in those days were not these hard, straight back things that we sit at nowadays. I personally advocate going back to the cushion days, you know, where you're sitting at a low table, laying around, and you could just eat for hours laying around that table and just relaxing, you know, with your legs kicked back and your arm to your side. I don't really like the European way of eating. I would like to go back to the Middle Eastern way of eating. Then we could sit there and eat for hours and hours. I mean, we eat for hours anyway. It'd just be more comfortable eating for hours, you see? And I can just picture Jesus laying there to the side, maybe propped up by his arm, with his feet sticking back from the table. Because she didn't go under the table, you understand? The table wasn't high enough. It was one of those low Middle Eastern tables. She didn't go under the table. No, he's kicked back with his legs back. And no doubt in his sovereignty, knowing that she's on the way, knowing that she's coming. And here is Simon sitting there and probably other delegates of the community sitting there, other upper crust and upper class folks there. And here comes this woman in here and brings on a very uncomfortable situation. And she's weeping as she comes in. This woman is literally crying a river of tears. She's crying enough in his presence to wash his feet with her tears. We were joking a little bit yesterday when Sister Sherry, we were playing, you know, the little straw war at the table, you know, popping the ends of the straw, the caps of the straw at one another. And oh my goodness, you thought the world had come to an end when Sister Sherry retaliated towards little Sister Lila and happened to pop her right under the eye. And a big single tear came rolling out of that eye. And many, many tears flowed out of Sister Sherry's eyes when she did that. But I tried to explain to Brother David that Sister Lila just has this knack and this gift of knowing when to cry, you know. It's an opportune time to cry, you know. So anyway, but this woman here, it was not a little single tear that came out of her eye. She is crying enough. She is overwhelmed enough. And you know, I've thought about this in prayer before. Whenever I felt overwhelmed and when I felt the tears well up in my eyes. Oh, I hope you've experienced that. I hope you felt that. It doesn't even have to be over some great sin that you've committed. You can just begin meditating and thinking and praying about how good God has been to you. And it will overwhelm you. And it will cause these things called tears to well up within your eyes. And I've heard the old songwriter who speaks of that from time to time, of the way that his eyes overflowed with tears. What a great thing. You don't have to be, you can be repenting of some great sin that you've committed, but you don't have to be. You can just be happy and joyful and yes, and cry in the Lord as you are thinking about what God has done for you. But I thought to myself, I don't think I've ever cried enough tears when I felt that way to cover somebody's feet, to wash the dirt off of their feet. Oh, this woman is overwhelmed. She's crying, and she's making the place very uncomfortable. But let me tell you somebody who was comfortable.
Amen.
Let me tell you somebody who was comfortable. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he's eating there as he's sitting at the table. As Simon hasn't offered him anything to wash his feet with. As Simon hasn't given him a greeting. And this woman comes in, and she makes the room very uncomfortable for the people sitting there. And she begins to cry upon the feet of Jesus. And as she weeps upon his feet, I can just see Jesus looking at her. He doesn't move. He doesn't move a toe. He doesn't move a foot. He doesn't move anything. He just watches as she continues to cry and weep. And she washes his feet with her tears. And then she takes the long locks of her hair and she begins to dry off the feet of the Savior, and Jesus just watches. And old Simon's getting uncomfortable over there, isn't he? He's getting more and more repulsed, and he's thinking, this is crazy. If he knew who this woman was, he wouldn't even let her come in the door, much less touch his feet. But Jesus is right where he's supposed to be.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. When the situations of this life cause you uncomfort or discomfort, and you feel discomfort in this life, and you feel as though you need to pour out your soul to the Lord, let me tell you, the Lord is well prepared to receive that. And here we have a man named Blind Bartimaeus. That's just old Blind Bart over there who sits there begging every day. And he begins to cry out and makes everybody uncomfortable when he cries out. Everybody but one, that is.
And as he began to cry out when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming, he says, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." Notice he wasn't demanding his rights. Notice he didn't say, "Unless you come over here and do what you're supposed to do for me, I'm going to contact the ACLU and hire me a lawyer and sue." That's the way we think in our mentality today in America. "Don't you step on my rights. Don't you deny me what is rightfully due for me." And yet here the man says, "Have mercy upon me. Spare me from what I deserve. I don't want to burn in the lake of fire. I know that I deserve to. Spare me from what I deserve." He says, "Have mercy upon me." He's not demanding his rights because he understands in his depravity and his sinfulness that he has no rights before a holy God. And many charged him. That's almost a legal term right there. They charged him. It means to censure or to forbid. They forbid him. "Hush, man. Hush. You're causing a scene here. You're causing a scene. You're making us uncomfortable. It's not supposed to go this way. We don't want it going this way. We don't want you disturbing the peace here." And so it says he cried the more a great deal. Can you picture him? He says, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." "Be quiet, man. Be quiet. Have mercy upon me." He cries even more. He cries louder. He cried more a great deal. "Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." And as he cried more and he cried louder and he cried longer, it says that Jesus stood still. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Of all the things that the Son of God could have been doing and had to do and was on His agenda for the day, I often think about that. How could the Lord of heaven, who has set the universe in motion and probably needs to look on the backside of somewhere, some far off universe or black hole, and wants to just peek in and see and just make sure that it's running exactly like He set it up to run. How in the world would He take time out of His schedule to stop and listen to a puny little prayer from a puny little sinner like me? But He does. That's the kind of God that we serve. He stood still. This man is a lesson in persistence. Persistence in prayer. God recognizes persistence in prayer. So he stood still. And from our perspective, what Bartimaeus was doing was, he wasn't worth the time of the Savior, right? I mean, from our perspective, from their perspective, right, it's just a blind beggar over there on the side of the road. Let me tell you something. This blind beggar is fixing to become the former blind beggar because of persistence in prayer and by the mercy of God. So the situation was somewhat embarrassing. The situation was disturbing. And yet Jesus was not embarrassed. He was not disturbed. You think about, I don't have time to go into the many, many embarrassing and disturbing and uncomfortable situations from a natural standpoint that we could look at. What about the woman who was caught in adultery that was brought to Jesus? Boy, that was uncomfortable, wasn't it? You know, what about the lawyers that come to him asking all these questions? What about the people that come and put him on the spot? What about the Pharisees that try to catch him in his words? What about Peter himself, when Peter would fire off at the mouth about something, make things very uncomfortable? But the Lord is never out of place and he's never uncomfortable. And he stood still and he commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of comfort." Good. Don't you just love the crowd? Don't you love the peanut gallery? You know, this peanut gallery, these bunch of peanuts here, are the same ones that were saying, "Shut up, be quiet, you're embarrassing us, censure him." And what did Jesus say? "Oh, come on over, come on, come on. You come on, you sweet fellow, we love you." Don't you love the peanut gallery? That's just our human nature, isn't it? You know, we get fired up on this thing over here and somebody says, "That's the wrong..." And, you know, it reminds me of, you know, a time or once or twice in my life whenever, you know, the kids have been at, and I can't hardly do it now because they could probably take me now. But you know, back when they were a little bit smaller, you know, two or three of them be fussing in the back and, man, you know, I couldn't really discern, you know, who it was or whatever, but I thought I had it figured out, and I take the switch, you know, and I just start going, pow, 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 you know. And then one of them says, "Daddy, it wasn't me," you know. I've done that. I admit it. I'm sorry. You know, don't have to call DHR, whatever the equivalent is down here. I'm the attorney for DHR back home anyway. So, but, you know, I go from, bam, 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 y'all be quiet and act right. And I'm like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to spank the wrong one." So which one was it? You know, we've all been the peanut gallery. We've all been that way. And so the peanut gallery says, Be of good comfort. He calls for thee now. Instead of, hush your mouth, you're embarrassing us. And he, casting away his garment. You know why he cast away that garment? Because he was going in the presence of Jesus. It's a picture to me of just, he was laying that burden of blindness down. He knew it was fixing to go. He cast away his garment. He rose and he came to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, what will thou that I should do unto thee? Don't ever think that Jesus didn't know what he wanted. But Jesus, listen now. This is another lesson about the persistence of prayer. So I prayed for that 100 times. He wants to hear it 101. He knew what this man wanted. But he wanted to hear him say it again. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Don't let that throw you for a loop. Don't let you get old Baptist get thrown for a loop on that. He's not saying there was some inherent power and something within him. He says that the very thing that I put in you is what has given you the ability to trust in me, to know that I have the ability. See? He's not flipping us out theologically. He is confirming that what God has given him is what this man was relying upon. You see? So what was placed inside him, blind Bartimaeus is clinging to that. And he's praying longer. And he's crying louder. And he's crying persistently. And then immediately he received his sight. Notice Jesus said, go thy way.
Yeah.
That's interesting, isn't it? He said, just go on your way. Go thy way. It's almost a conundrum. It's almost, you know, some kind of metaphorical, ironic type statement there. You know, go thy way, and if thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. And guess what? All of a sudden, this blind man's way, this blind man's direction in life was the same direction that Jesus was going. Because he could see physically now to walk and follow him. And so, who is that guy following Jesus? Oh, that's blind Bart. Well, how's he walking like that? He's not blind anymore. Well, how did that happen? Well, I heard him cry out there on the way to Jericho that day. I heard him cry louder when they told him to hush. And I heard him cry longer. He wouldn't hush. And finally, the Lord stood still. And the next thing you know, he turned around and he had his sight. And now he's following Jesus.
Amen.
It all came down all at once, didn't it? Oh, the Lord delivers us all at one time. When you are delivered, it's all at one time. That's for sure. But we may cry long and loud, and we may cry in a weeping way, like that woman who was a woman of the city, who was a sinner. Listen to me very carefully. The Lord enjoys hearing us crying to Him. So we should cry out. We should cry loud. We should cry longer. We should just cry to Him. Several years ago, we were in Washington, D.C. on a school trip. And my second born, Abigail, back there, she developed a terrible, terrible staph infection in her knee. Just out of the blue. Strangest thing. And we carried her around Washington, D.C. I'm not medically minded. You know, the brother that was with us, and we just kind of carried her around and even pushed her in a wheelchair. We thought she'd bunged her knee or something, you know. But she had a terrible staph infection. We stopped off at Children's Hospital on the way home. Had it checked out. The guy that checked it out didn't catch it. The next day we talked to the pediatrician. They said, get back to the hospital as fast as you can. Because it's staff. They tested it. And that's some serious stuff. Brother David knows all about that stuff. Some of you do too, I'm sure. So we get her back. She's going to be rushed into emergency surgery. Lo and behold, I had a deadline on a legal filing that I had to do by 5 o'clock that next day. Surgery's at 3 o'clock. Man, I busted it as hard as I could to get that filing done by 12:30, 1 o'clock. And my daughter back there just wanted me to get there. So I hit the road. I got to Birmingham. I'm not even going to tell you the little amount of time that it took me to get there. It was normally an hour and a half. I got there much quicker than that. I broke some traffic laws getting there because I just wanted to be there for her. And she wanted me to be there. And let me tell you, here's why I'm giving you that illustration. Me being there for her was not going to change her staph infection. It was not going to change her surgery. It was not going to change anything. But when I walked in the door as they were about to roll her back and she looked at me and she burst into tears when she saw my face and I held her hand and we prayed, I'm telling you, there was relief there.
And it's the same way with the Heavenly Father. It's the same way with God. You may not get relief from that surgery, or you may not get relief from that problem you're having. You may not get relief right now in the moment that you want it, but just cry out, because He wants to hear you and He hears you, whether He answers it at that moment or not. Your crying out is a demonstration of your faith in His ability, regardless of whether or not He does it or not. There was a young woman who was experiencing some great trouble here recently. Great trouble. And she's in a low spot, and I called her. I texted her. You know, I like texting because it's easy to send a quick note to somebody. And I texted her and I said, I want you to look to your right at that nothing that is on your right. And then I want you to look to your left at the nothing that is on your left. And then by faith, I want you to know that that nothing is filled with a Heavenly Father and His Spirit. He's there. You don't see Him by sight. Blind Bartimaeus didn't have any physical sight to see the Son of God. You don't see Him by sight, but He's there. Oh, child of God, if you've been crying out for some time, keep crying. Cry louder. Cry longer. If you've been hesitant to cry out, start crying out. And ultimately, just cry to the Lord. Because it's a demonstration of your belief in His ability. May the Lord bless you.